In the pasuk at the end of Parashas Vayechi, we'll be finishing Sefer Bereishis this week. So the last chapter, Perek Nun, so it's culminating the story of Yosef and his brothers. So the brothers are very afraid now. Yosef gets his payback. But Yosef told them, relax. He said, Perek Nun pasuk Yitzes and Chabat. He says, "Vatem chashavtem alai ra, even though you intended to do harm to me, sell me, throw me in the pit, whatever, all the different harm. However, elkim chashva letova. But the bottom line is, it all worked out well as it usually does, and therefore you don't have to worry. So just relax. I'm not going to take any revenge on you. So it's mashma. The Arachayim points out it's mashma. The implication of this pasuk is that." Let's say someone has bad intention. I'm intending to do an evil act, a bad act, but as long as it doesn't happen, I don't need any atonement. That seems to be the implication here, that I'm not going to, that this the makshava ra by itself doesn't need atonement, which seems to go against a Mishnah in Nazir.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the one with Abimelech.
Yeah, I mean, there are a couple of, you know what I'm saying, but this one, we'll start off with the Mishnah in Nazir. I think Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, the Mishnah talks about that a wife took a neder, let's say, not to eat chocolate chip cookies, cinnamon buns, or you could pick your favorite dessert or candy, whatever it was. And she made a neder, I'm not going to have it. But of course, you know, she underestimated the temptation of chocolate chip cookies, donuts, whatever it might be. And she went ahead and she ate the cookies or the donut. However, unknown to her, the husband knew his wife well. And therefore, the husband annulled the vow before. So therefore, the bottom line is, she didn't know, but what she thought she was doing in Aveira by eating the cookies. But the bottom line was, the husband already took care of the vow, so therefore there was no prohibition. So the Mishnah, so to quote the pasuk in Parashas Nos, Hashem Yisrach La, or Patas Matos, that Hashem Yisrach La, that the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, the woman needs atonement. So even though, again, it seems to be, we saw from the case of Yosef, that even though the brothers intended evil, but the bottom line, it worked out well, so we don't have to worry. No atonement necessary. Yet the Mishnah says explicitly that not that way. That even though a woman did nothing wrong, the bottom line is the cookies were permitted. The cake was permitted, even though she didn't, yet she needs atonement. Just like the Gemara continues, let's say you had in mind to eat basa chazir, you had in mind to eat some pig, some pork chops, whatever it may be, and the end of the day, it was a mistake. You thought you ordered the pig, but you ordered the cow instead, and you ended up eating kosher. So the Gemara says you need atonement. So just like you need atonement in the case, so it seems to be both cases. The case of the pig meat, you plan on eating treif, non-kosher, you ended up by mistake eating kosher. The woman intended to violate the neder, but the result was not. So we see from there, even though you didn't actually do anything wrong, the fact you had evil intention, that was enough to require atonement. So how do we reconcile this with the end of the parasha, where Yosef tells his brothers, don't worry, I know you had evil intention, but who cares? Nothing happened at the end. So which one is it? Is a makshava ra by itself, does that require atonement or not? So Rashi over there, so actually the Gemara in Kiddushin says it straight out on Lamed Tes. Makshava ra, eino mitzdaref lamaisa. A bad thought by itself doesn't count as the fact that you had a makshava ra. As long as you never did it, you didn't do the aveira, so therefore it's not mitzdaref lamaisa. It doesn't count for an action. So Rashi over there already gives like an answer to the question. He says that this says makshava ra, eino mitzdaref lamaisa. This says it's true. That if you just had an evil intent without doing the act, it's not mitzvah, but doesn't mean you don't need atonement for it. I mean, Hashemayim, so that's how Rashi wants to reconcile. There's a famous brisker Rav, the stipler, not to answer, they don't talk about this question, but we can answer it based on the Yesod. He's talking about, we're going to read in a couple of weeks in the Aseret HaDibros. So the last dibra is lo sachmo. There's a prohibition of coveting someone else's property, someone else's wife, etc. So there's a whole discussion on what's the parameters, at what point. That's the famous kasha to Eben Ezra. How could the fact I'm thinking something, if I don't, could I be punished on this, the bad thought? What do you mean? How, you know, it's kind of, that's Rav Shimshon v'Hirsch, right? That's one of the proofs that the Torah is min hashamayim. Imagine a king saying, I'm making a law, anyone who thinks I'm a bad king, we're going to kill you. Okay, very good. How does he know what I'm thinking? You're not going to make a rule that's impossible. You make a mockery out of it. Only God can make up. So that's a raya that, you know, one of his rayas that Torah is min hashamayim. But nevertheless, so what exactly is lo sachmo? So it's not you're walking down the street and you see, wow, this beautiful home. Oh, I wish I had that home. Or someone drove a car you like. That's involuntary. You're not thinking about anything. You know, you could work on your midos that maybe you shouldn't desire anyone else's car or that, but that's not lo sachmo. So according to some Rishonim, goes this ava, not the desire, lo sachmo is the same prohibition. But the Rambam says lo sachmo means you plan an attack. It's not, okay, wow, I like that iPad, I like that new iPhone, whatever. You make a plan, but you just never act on it. That's lo sachmo. What's lo sachmo? You plan the attack and you take it. In other words, the Rambam's question is, you don't violate lo sachmo as sheyikach es achefet shechamad, unless you actually took the object. If you just had a thought, a mere act, you know, inadvertent thought, it's nothing. It's just, you have to work on your midos. Lo sachmo, you were planning on taking it, but you chickened out at the end, or you didn't, whatever reason, you couldn't get to it. Lo sachmo is only when you actually take it. So you violate lo sachmo. So the problem is, the Ravid asked this question on the Rambam. The Rambam writes, when he's talking about lo sachmo, so what about, usually if you violate a negative commandment, you get a good old-fashioned whooping called makos. When you violate a law, so you get makos, 39 lashes. So the question, so what about if I violate lo sachmo? Should I get a punishment? So Rambam writes, no, because it's a law she'ein bo maisa. It's a law, it's a negative prohibition that doesn't involve an act. So the Rambam goes crazy on the Rambam like he usually does. He says, the Rambam just contradicted himself. He told me the only time I'm obligated in lo sachmo is if I actually take the object. If I just thought about it, that's not lo sachmo. And yet he says, I'm only chayv in lo sachmo. Then he says, it's a law she'ein bo maisa. So which one is it? You can't have it, that's the Rambam's kasha on the Rambam. So the Stipler, the Briskers, everyone gives this the following lumdis to answer up the kasha. The Rambam is saying the prohibition of lo sachmo is an isser makshava. Really, the isser is it's in the heart. That's what lo sachmo is. But like we know, but in Judaism, it's a very realistic religion. Like it's much harder to figure out who's a tzaddik than who's a talmid chacham. At least a Torah scholar. You could ask them some questions, you could figure, you know, you might not know, they could fool you, but at least there's some more of an objective test. But tzaddik, who's a tzaddik, who knows? So it's much more, so we always try to get something concrete. So he points out, of course it's an isser makshava, the issue is in the heart. But how do I know that I've gone too far? So what if I do the act, that shows l'mafreya, retroactive, that means I reached that level of chimud. Really, the prohibition is in the heart, but it's more of like the something called the sibin and the siba they use. So this is more of a, it's not the act isn't, I'm not obligated because of the act. The act shows that what? That means my desire went too far. So that's what they want to explain here to try to reconcile. That the Gemara says in Kedusha, makshava ra, inu mastaraf gomaisa. So when do we say a bad thought doesn't count as a, that's if it merely was a makshava ra. That's all you did was a makshava ra. But over here, it's true you did a makshava ra, and it's true the time you did the maisa, it was a maisa heter, it was permitted. But since you didn't act, because technically it happened to be, when you were doing your makshava, you did a maisa with it. So therefore, that's a higher level, and therefore that's the distinction. If it's only a thought and it's all you ever did, so then you don't need any type of kapara. But in the case of the nut with the woman, It's true that technically speaking, the cookies were mutzer, but she but she did do a makshav and she had intent to do a maisa. So therefore, that's how they reconcile. But the one we're going to focus on is the third answer. What's the difference? How could it be that we say by Yosef, we see a makshav arah, everything's a go. Don't worry about it. God had different plans. Yeah, we see. By the Mishnah Nazir that the woman's Sarah Kapara. And if you think if you plan on eating pig and you eat kosher, you still need kapara. So how do we reconcile? There's a Klei Chemda. He's one of the Sfarim on Chumash. He's known as a pilpil sefer. You know, people don't learn. The Gra used to say about the Shar Gisaryeh, too much pilpil. You know, maybe he said about the Gra, not enough. Today we don't really know what pilpil means in general is that we don't know enough to do. Halavai, we could do pilpul, because you got to know everything. Pilpul means you have all this knowledge and you tie in, you know, more like a Polish or Mahalach in terms of learning that you bring in from all over, as opposed to a Brisker, where it's everything is, you figure out, you know, internally, you work down the issues. Either way, the Klei Chemda, he's a pilpul sefer on Chumash, so he wants to say the following yisod. That there's a Gemara, I don't know if he quotes the Gemara, but it's going to be the same thing. So the Gemara in Menachas talks about the following case. Someone's fishing. What's wrong with fishing? I guess if you go to Florida, nothing wrong with fishing. Maybe you can still go fishing now, I don't know. But the person who's going fishing on Shabbos, is that a problem? Well, it depends how good of a fisherman you are. And if you don't catch anything, maybe technically you might not violate Seda, but let's assume you know how to fish. So someone's fishing on Shabbos, and they put the nets out, and they catch the tuna, the salmon, whatever they're catching. So you violate the biblical prohibition of seder, of trapping. But the Gemara's case is, lo and behold, you throw in the hole, you get all these tunas, these fish, and what do you know? A little toddler was in a little kid fell in the ocean, or river, or whatever, and you ended up saving this kid's life. So the Gemara wants to know, am I obligated? Because I wanted, my intent was to, whether my intent was, that's what I was doing. I was doing an act of Chilul Shabbos. I was going to do trapping. But the end result was, I did Pikuach Nefesh. I'm allowed to trap to save someone's life. So which one is it? Am I obligated? Am I Chayav? So that's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rava and Rabba. So what's the issue? The Gemara gives us the lamdis. The Gemara says it depends. If you go by some machshava, if you go by the thought, then okay, you chayev. If you go by some mice, if you go by the results, then you did an act of pikuach nefesh. So then you're exempt. So mice, we go with basa maisa. It's a whole discussion in the Rambam that you'd be putter if you did an act of atzoas nefeshes. But comes along the Klei Chemda and says this whole machlokes in the Gemara. Whether you go basa maisa, basa machshav, you go by the act of the thought, that's only in the realm of mitzvahs ben adam lamakom. That's only in the realm of mitzvahs between man and God. Then we could discuss. But in the realm of ben adam lachavero, there's no discussion. Everyone agrees ben adam lachavero is basa maisa. What counts is the fact that you were thinking of visiting someone in the hospital doesn't do anyone too much good. I thought about picking the person up. I thought I'd helping with the 9 o'clock minyan. I just didn't show up. Whatever the case may be, that doesn't really help. When you're dealing with makshava kadosh baruch hu, yeah, so then the makshava plays a major, a much more integral role. Again, it's a separate share why makshava does play a role in benam chaver also, but in this for this year it's not that important. But Levi's it is important, but this year it's not. So Benad Mechavero, the result is on the result-oriented. So therefore, he points out as follows. So he says, and that's why, in fact, that's Rav Shlomo Zalman, he writes, if you look in, we have a concept in the Gemara, mitzvah striches kavan. It's actually a machokes in the Gemara, whether mitzvahs require intent or mitzvahs don't require intent. I always point out that's a post-facto machokes. No one says you're about to do a mitzvah and don't have kavanah, or you don't need kavanah. The question, it's a legal question. The question is, if I did the mitzvah without the requisite kavanah, do I have to go back and do it again? So that's the debate in the Gemara. So we assume, l'halacha, mitzvah strich is kavanah by mitzvahs min haTorah, but by mitzvahs drabanah, you wouldn't have to go back. So, Hamzom of Shlomo Zalman, he says, what about mitzvah striches kavana by bikur cholim, by halvai, all the ben amachaveres. He says, if you notice in the Gemara, all the examples of the Gemaras are in shofar, lulav, sukkah, they're all on mitzvahs ben adam lamakam. Why? Because when it comes to kavana, makshava, the yikir, you know, it's for God, so makshava is the key. In fact, by tefillah, we have, you know, it's a whole kasha, why do we need to actually say the words if God knows our makshavas? You know, so that's the famous kasha in the Mefarsha, but there's an answer, but the bottom line is that is the key. The key to God is your makshavas and what your intents are. So therefore, when it comes to adam lamakam, that mitzvah strich is kavana. But the bottom line is, when it comes to Benam Chavero, the bottom line is, if you cheered that person up, if your person was sick in the hospital, you came by, you did Nicham Avelim, you comforted the mourner, I'd say you didn't have the best of intentions. Whatever you want, you know, you have some in mind, you'll get some payback. Whatever your intentions weren't the best, but the bottom line is, you did something good. So when it comes to Benam Chavero, it's much more result oriented. That's how the Parshim explained also. That's why there's no bracha, as the Rambam writes, a mitzvah adam lechaveiro. Why? Because you only make a bracha on a maisa, on the act. So when you have mitzvah adam lemakom, the maisa is the key. But by ben adam lechaveiro, it's more like it's a hechatimsa to get to the result. The maisa is not that important. In fact, that's what the Chidushei Haran writes in Sanhedrin, I think 84b, the Gemara. The Gemara talks to Makis about someone out in the forest chopping wood and like the axe comes off. So basically the Ran writes, really the person, he writes that he should be like an honest gomer. The Gemara goes to Shogun, but the bottom line, the Ran writes, that really it's like it happened by itself. He had, you know, it's not in, why isn't he any kapara? So the Ran writes, the Chidushei Haran they write, he says because Benal Machavero, the bottom line, you killed someone. The result, by Banach, we care more about the result than your machshava. And if you cause the bad result, you need a kapara. And that's what also the Ramban writes in Bava Metzia, Pei Beza Min Aleph. I think the Shita Mugbez is quoted about by Nezik. You know, we don't necessarily pass by Anas Gomer. Not my thing. We pass like this Ramban, but the Ramban writes in a case of total. And the rest, if Nizik and you caused harm, you need some type of kapara. Because the bottom line, when it comes to Edom HaChavero, we're much more result-oriented. In fact, that's the famous Sifri, the Rashi quotes, by the mitzvah of tzedakah, by Shechicha, that the lach is, let's say you're walking down the street, and you were walking, and you were in Mea Sharem, let's say, and you didn't even know, like, you dropped a dollar bill, a $10 bill, whatever. And you didn't even know you even dropped it until you got home that night.
Who owns the lock accurate? That you were just walking somewhere.
No, the black. This is the Santa Fe.
That's the
SUV. I'm right here. I have a Hyundai, this one. I don't have an Acura.
Oh, okay, whatever. I need to
get
my daughter from school.
I'm saying this is.
Which car?
Yeah.
It's black one, right?
No, I'm not blocking anyone.
Can we move it?
Huh? Can we get out of them? I look like an Acura, and my car's worth a lot more now. So that's okay. Yeah, so I don't think I'm blocking anyway. That's a separate machokas. It's a bus of machshav and ma'isa. We'll discuss it later. So either way, so the Gemara, so the Sifri quotes the halacha like if you drop money, well, you don't even know you drop, and it's your lucky day. An ani picked it up, a poor person picked it up. You get the mitzvah of tzedakah. What's the riot? Because we have a mitzvah in the Torah called shechicha that someone during harvest time, let's say a person forgets during you left a bundle. So number one, you're not allowed to go back. You have to leave it for ani. But the Chazal say, but even if a person doesn't even know he left it, he still gets schar. What do you mean? You don't even know? Like, how can you possibly have a makshava? You don't even. So we see from here because that's ben adam. So ben adam chaveru is result oriented. We see by shecha, and therefore that's the yisro. So that's how they explain. So that's how he explains it here. That when it comes to. So when it came to Nazir, when it comes to the woman thinking God. Shel Rosh signify what is the Tefillin Shel Yad. So Tefillin Shel Yad is action. Hands doing things, that's Benana Machavero. The Rosh is the Machshava, that's for your head. So therefore, he says that when a Jew has to ground himself, a bit is Benana Machavero. In other words, it can start off with Chumras. The first Chumras should be on a mitzvah Benana Machavero, not on a mitzvah. You never left. You can't have a ben adam l'makom without any ben adam l'chaver. First, you got to ground yourself. You put on the tefillin shel yad. Then you have the head on, because the head represents machshav. That's bitzus ben adam l'makom. So we see this is shown throughout that they make this distinction between ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chavero in terms of the machshava versus the ma'isa. So to summarize what we discussed. The kasha was by Yosef at the end of the parsha. The brothers clearly had bad intentions, but Yosef, don't worry about it. It's all good. Okim chashva l'tova, implying a makshava was okay, not okay, but you don't need any atonement. Yeah, post facto, it's okay. You don't need any atonement. And like, so the question is, but the Mishnah says in Nazir, the woman who violated the neder, or she. Well, in Makshava, she started from Ma'isa. So which one is it? So we gave three approaches. Rashi's approach was, in Akhenai, Makshava, Ra'inu, Mitzara, Ma'isa, it's not as bad, but you still need a low level of atonement. We had the Yisod of the Priska Rav and the Stipla that a pure Makshava Ra, if you only do a thought, then you don't need a Kapara. But a thought together with a Ma'isa, even if that Ma'isa happened to be technically Mutter, that make like Ra'ilo Sachbod, it's a Simon, it's enough that you require Kapara. But the answer we focused on was the answer to Kli Chemda, that the difference was between Bidana Lamakam and Amma Chavero. The Gemara in Menachos about fishing, that by Bidana Lamakam we could discuss Bakshava versus Ma'isa. But everyone agrees when it comes to Bidana Chavero, the issue is result oriented. And therefore, that's why, that's how we explained the difference. The difference between Yosef's case was Bela Machavero, so it's results. At the bottom, I didn't cause any harm, so therefore you're okay. But in Benadam Lamakom, it's the Makshav, and that's why we had the Chidush Aran said the same thing, that really, since the person really should be Pata, but since the bottom line, he caused harm, so therefore he gets punished because Benadam Machavero is a Totsah. That's what the Ramban writes, that Hilkas Nezikin in Anas Gomer Yechayev. That's the Yisod of Shlomo Zalman, Mitzvah Shlichas Kavana, or not making brachas, Amen Amo Chavero, and that's the Yisod of Shikha, of Tzedakah, that I don't even have to know I left it there. But yet Chazal says I get a bracha, because the bottom line, when it comes to Amo Chavero, it's more about the Makshava than the Maisa. So this one, visiting the sick. So of course the makshav is going to make a difference. And this on a reverse case, but basically the guy shows up and the husband said, why don't we make a bracha on a mitzvah b'tzibik or cholim? So the one, because you can make a bracha on someone, a person's dying, terrible pain, even with the cannabis, the medical marijuana, but he's still in pain. And so I'm going to go in, I'm sitting, Baruch, I'm sitting, I'm going to make a bracha at someone else's sar, to the bottom line, and what does it look like? Like, oh, well, you came in for your mitzvah, like you couldn't care less about me. Okay, I made my bracha, I did my visit, okay, like, it also takes away from the whole purpose is to make a person feel good. When you're looking, when it makes you feel like you don't couldn't care less about me, you're here for some other reason, you're not helping the cholah, which is the whole essence of Bikur Cholim, or the same thing for Nichama. That's why they de-emphasize the bracha by Adam HaChaveir, because it takes away from the whole essence of the mitzvah is to help the other person, whether it's the cholah, halayis, and that's the yisod here, that Elkimcha, when it comes to Adam HaChaveir, it works both ways. So it's result-oriented. So if you cause harm, even if you don't have bad intents, ultimately you got to have a din v'cheshbon, there's some type of kapara. But on the other hand, in Benadam Chavero, Yosef's brothers lucked out, everything worked out, and therefore they didn't need, Yosef said, don't worry. And the Aruch Chaim points out, they didn't need kapara out to Benadam Chavero. But then out to sins, Benadam Chavero, they did, then they would need a kapara. But the focus is on the Benadam Chavero part, that they didn't, that's what it means, okay, I'm Chashva Gatova.
Shkreich.